We read the catechism reading as found on page 6. The fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean?
God's mercy gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray at this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving.
What is meant by daily bread?
Daily bread includes everything that has to do with our support in the human body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, and animals, money, goods, devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation,
this sermon series started out in my mind titled Pray Without Ceasing and was modified to Pray About It. Would a more accurate modification have been Without Prayer? Isn't it true that for many of us, our prayer life is no more than Oh My God and a table prayer when we happen to remember? But daily prayer is a must. As our petition tonight proves, Jesus commands us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. If Jesus hadn't specified this day and daily, once a week, month, or even once a year prayer for bread, that would have been sufficient. And please note, since the command to pray for daily bread is joined to 6 other petitions, all of them are daily too. How many of you even say the Lord's Prayer once a day? Luther said it should be said 3 times a day. The scriptures commend much more frequent praying than any of us do regularly. Psalm 55 verse 18 mentions praying at morning, noon, and evening. Psalm 119, 164 mentions praying 7 times a day. Daniel, we know, prayed 3 times a day. Finally, Paul gives the New Testament command, pray without ceasing. To tell you the truth, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I do know that it does not mean pray infrequently, pray only in times of trouble, or pray when you feel like it. Of all the scriptural examples of people at prayer, our reading tonight most fits us. The disciples were commanded by Jesus to watch and pray. They must have watched some because they passed down for us the record of Jesus, how Jesus' soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. They passed down how he asked that the cup of God's wrath be taken from his lips if the Father willed it. They also passed down that an angel came and strengthened him so that he could withstand the full weight of death, hell, and damnation on his holy head as they pressed great drops of blood from him. The disciples were commanded to watch and pray, and they did what we do. We watch, we see how Jesus suffers at the hands of the world. We see how every imaginable perversion, false faith, and outright lie is preferred to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And we do what the disciples did. We sleep. Luke tells you that they slept rather than prayed because they were sorrowful. Sleep brings more relief than prayer does in a world where suffering, discouragement, and despair preach sorrow into your head. Wait, let's back up. We won't find motivation to be people of prayer from those who failed at it. We'll find it in Jesus and the prayer he gives to us. What was Jesus teaching us to pray for when he taught us to say, "Give us this day our daily bread"? According to our catechism, we are asking the Father to lead us to realize that he certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. This takes daily prayer out of the must, have to, ought to category. The Lord doesn't tell us to pray this petition each day or else he won't give us daily bread. How could that be? Look around you. Muslims who do not pray to the true God, nevertheless, they have daily bread. Atheists who don't pray at all, they get daily bread. And so do criminals, perverts, and prisoners. Let's state the reality in terms of the Lord's Prayer itself. Even those who don't call God Father, who don't want His name hallowed, or His kingdom to come, they get daily bread. So how much more the Father's children? Ever, even for a good reason, send a child to bed with no dessert? If it all but breaks our fallen hearts to do that, let us not think the Holy Heart of the Father could ever deprive us of daily bread for no reason, for evil reasons, or for forgetfulness. If those who use God's name recklessly, faithlessly, unbelievingly still get their daily bread, how much more those baptized, bodied, and blooded to that name? If those who deny the kingdom, if those who persecute the kingdom, if those who ignore the kingdom are still given daily bread from the King, how much more those Jesus said it was the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom? How much more are they going to get daily bread? The Lord wants us to pray daily, give us our bread for our benefit, not for His. He wants us to realize each day that daily bread is totally a matter of His grace, not our goodness, not our work, not our planning, not even our faith. Moreover, God would have us pray this petition to lead us to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. You heard the list of things we mean by daily bread. We ask for not just food, drink, clothing, and shoes, not just house, home, land, and animals. But we ask for a devout spouse, workers, and rulers. We ask for good government, weather, and friends. We ask for peace, health, and self-control. Now, in your opinion, the government might not be so good right now. And who would think last summer's drought was good? We pray in this petition that whatever the daily bread the Father gives us is, we receive it with thanksgiving. Now, that takes nothing less than a miracle. So big, it radically impacts the rest of your life. Only one who has prayed, "Thy will be done," can receive his daily bread with thanksgiving. But only one who has heard his Savior pray that prayer from the depths of hell, grief, and prayer and pain, only that person can say, "Thy will be done." Picture this. A Christian stands before a suffering, dying, troubled loved one, knowing exactly what he wants and their loved one needs. But from his lips comes the astounding prayer, "According to thy will, as you will, yet not as I will, but as you will." Where does that come from? Not from his heart, not from his faith, and certainly not from his will. It comes from Gethsemane. If the perfect Son of God could be so cornered by sin, death, and the devil that he had to cast himself on the will of his Father rather than his own, we know us imperfect children need to do that as well. In such painful, frightful, dangerous circumstances, we get to flee to the will of God, which is always good and gracious, rather than our own will, which is often conflicted and self-serving. Thanksgiving for daily bread comes from Gethsemane in another way. We see there that the Father's will was to crush His Son. To crush His Son to get every last drop of holy blood needed to fill a baptismal bowl. Needed to cover up your sins. Needed to feed you for eternity. That wasn't good for Jesus, but it was certainly good for us. So given the choice between what was good for Jesus and what was good for you, the Father chose what was good for you. Thanks be to God. Still can't see how your daily bread, still can't receive your daily bread thankfully? True, some of you have daily bread in a loaf mixed with pain, worries, family troubles, doubts, despair, medical troubles, and more. It's one thing, as in that painting, to see before you a slice of cheese and a crust of bread and be thankful. It's quite another to see a slice of worry and a crust of chemo and say thanks. That takes a miracle, and a miracle you shall have. Go to Dark Gethsemane. All of the forces of hell are ganging up on Jesus there. The spirit of worry, of fear, of depression, of despair. The unnamed fears in the back of our minds and the horrors in front of them all swoop and swirl around Jesus. And so does the cup of God's wrath. The Father approaches the Son holding the cup of wrath against your very real sins. Don't think it makes it easier for Jesus to drink the cup because he's innocent. If you're innocent, but a court considers you guilty of a capital crime, your innocence makes the walk to the gas chamber all the more harder and all the more painful. The wormwood and the gall in the cup is from your sins. All the times you haven't prayed. All the times you slept in sorrow rather than watched in prayer. All the times you actually thought to yourself, what good will praying do? Or even worse, when you thought, what good will praying do, and still you had the temerity, you had the nerve, you had the out-and-out unbelief to pray anyway. All that is swirling in the cup the Father is handing to the Son. And all Jesus has to do is pitch you out of the kingdom to avoid drinking it. No kingdom for him, he seldom prays. No kingdom for her, she prays without hope. To give you, to win for you the kingdom, Jesus drinks the cup. He seals the deal so that every drop of baptismal water, every word of absolution, every molecule of the body and blood of Jesus in communion gives you the kingdom. And since you have the kingdom, you know, you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you have all the daily bread you need. Isn't that what Jesus promised in Matthew 6? He said, do not worry. Do not say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, they run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In the Lord's Prayer, you seek first that the Father's kingdom come. Therefore, all the daily bread you need is given to you. Thanks be to God. Almost, but not quite, to the point of realizing you don't have to pray daily for bread, but you get to, so you can receive it with thanksgiving. See in the reading how Jesus was deprived of his daily bread. Rulers who were neither devout or faithful sent soldiers to arrest the innocent Jesus. Bad government rubber-stamped the findings of kangaroo courts against Jesus. His friends, they certainly weren't good when they fell asleep even as they saw and heard his desperate struggling. Your sins caused all of that to happen to Jesus. Your sins deprived innocent Jesus of his daily bread. To pay for your sins, Jesus got unfaithful rulers, bad governments, and faithless friends. Therefore, your sins, all of them, are now paid for. This means that when your daily bread has difficult things or lacks things you dearly want or need, it cannot be to pay for your sins, regardless of how hugely they loom in your mind. It cannot be to pay for your sins, regardless of how loudly the devil shouts them in your ears. It can't be to pay for your sins, regardless of how sharply they jab your heart. Whatever is or is not in your daily bread, of this you can be sure. The suffering and death of Jesus Christ guarantee that your daily bread serves your going to heaven. The Father promised this, and faith responds, thanks be to God. And suddenly, whatever our daily bread may be, it becomes to us the bread of heaven, the bread of angels, the bread of salvation. In this sense, I think Kierkegaard was right when he said, prayer does not change God, but changes him who prays. I pray, give us this day our daily bread. And then what God gives me looks different. I need such a change of attitude, of perspective, of faith, even as I need my bread daily. Amen.